Amen. Amen. Camp was, I went there for, I wasn't there the whole time, but I enjoyed it. And Rose, my sister-in-law, my wife reminded me, stay on track. My sister-in-law, Rose, she had some of the people that she worked for in California happened to come to the camp. And without us really realizing it or knowing that how the Lord uses us in our daily life and our daily walk, they were amazed of the just how well the camp went and how people were having so much fun, seemingly, as far as they could see. And it was like, what do you do? How do you do to have make the folks enjoy themselves so much? It's like everybody's having fun. There's no this or no that. And the only thing we can say is, it's the Lord. It's God in their life. But it goes to show you that when you think that what you're doing is really nothing, I'm just living, doing, you know what? It's a blessing to someone else. We don't always realize that. And it made me aware, and it really made an impression on me, because I kept saying to myself, we're not doing nothing but having our time, having a good time. Some of us just enjoying our flesh. And not thinking that we're doing anything spiritual. But God has manifested himself in our lives when we don't even know it. When we less realize that he's there and he is there. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I just want to thank you for this opportunity to speak your word, which I believe that you've given to me. Your testimony, O God, of grace to my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I just ask, Lord, that you will use it for your glory, your honor, and your praise. Let our hearts be receptive and open to receive whatever you might have for us to receive. In the name of Jesus, we pray this. Amen. Like I said before, my name's Curtis Frazier. And is it 77 years old now? And been serving the Lord for at least 50 years. I thank God for that. And the thing that I'm grateful about that is that I've served the Lord for longer than I served the devil. Amen. I'm proud of that. Because all of the times I spent serving the enemy, that was lost time. It was of no profit. Not to me or anyone else. I might have thought I was having fun. I might have thought this or that, but it was of no profit. But the years, over 50 years that I've served the Lord, I've had people come and from time to time and said, you know, you blessed me when you said such and such, or you blessed me when you... I don't even remember. Because I was just living. But let me tell you, that's a testimony of who you serve. When you're just living, nothing special that you're trying to do, you're just living, and people see Christ. And that, I believe, is the way it's supposed to be. That you live the life that he's called you to live, because that's who you are and what you're a part of. Amen. As I was trying to decide what to speak about, I just had trouble over and over, and I couldn't. And my wife, who's my helpmate, and I thank God for her. We butt heads left and right over and over, but she's my helpmate. When I don't think she's for me, she's with me. And she's for me. Amen. So I was struggling, trying to say, what should I say? What should I do? And so finally, you know, she got a hold to me, and began to just, not trying to direct me, but just speaking what the Lord had put in her heart. She said, just talk about the things, you know, what bothers you, what troubles you, what troubles you. And Pastor Joe asked me, it's been about 2 weeks ago, he asked me to do this. I said, sure, yeah, because in my spirit, whatever the Lord have me to do, whatever I can do for the church, fine. That's what I'll do. Yes, fine. So I committed to it. And then after I committed to it, you know, you start thinking about it. I said, what in the world did I ask him to say that for? I said, yes, I'm going to do it. I said, what in the world did I do that for? I said, what am I going to talk about? What am I going? And I struggled. I struggled. I did. And then as I come along, and my wife started talking to me, and she thanked God for your help me, because that's what she was for me, help me. She helped me through this. So later on, I started to think about my secret. She said, secret? I said, yeah. What is it? And you know, the enemy, when you have these things within you that you don't like to bring out, the enemy uses them. That's a breeding ground for him. Because we don't want anything, we don't want it to be known, so it becomes a breeding ground, and he knows it, so he's always there. Don't talk about that. Don't bring that up. And it's because of pride. We all have pride, saints, we do. Whether you want to believe it or not, we all have pride. Some more than others. And I'm one of those that have a lot of pride. Very prideful. And it's nothing to brag about. Somebody say, yeah, you ought to be proud of it. No, some things, yeah, it is good. It's good to be proud about the things that God is doing for you. But things that are in your flesh, sometimes it's not something to be boasting about. Pride. Pride go before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. So people I know in the world, they say, be proud, and I understand what they're saying. Don't shrink back from what God has called you to or where you are, but nevertheless, don't be prideful. Moses was the meekest man. That's what the Lord said. He's the meekest man. And you know what? He could not go into the promised land because of what? Pride. Pride. And you say, what was his pride? The Lord used him to do many signs and wonders, to bring his people out of bondage and to direct them, to worry with them, to hear their whining and their crying and their whimpering and their complaining, and to do all these things, and they wear on you. They beat you down. And in one of those moments when he was burdened down and things were wearing on him, he spoke unadvisedly. And they were complaining. Oh, you don't have no water. We don't have no more food. You done brought us out here. They went. He asked me, said, let's go. Y'all want to come out of Egypt? Let's go. Okay, we go. And as soon as they got out there and things got hard, oh, we don't have this. Oh, we should have stayed there. The leeks and the garlics, they was good. And we don't even have that now. And they were just complaining. So it wore on him. This time, it was water. They were thirsty. And they kept whining. Oh, you done brought us way out here to die. He didn't force them to go nowhere. He said, why don't you want to go? Come on. Come with me. If you could stay. Sound like some of us? Times when the Lord directing us to do something, someone said, Lord, show me that maybe you ought, we ought to do this, and we do that. And we go along until things get hard. Then all of a sudden, this was your idea. I didn't, you know, I kind of had doubts about it in the first place, and such and such. And that's what happens, saints. That's what happens. Satan keeps us bound with fear and pride. Fear and pride. That's how he keeps us bound. I know a lot of times people say, Be proud of yourself. Be this and that. Yes, but also be humble. Moses made one statement, showed his pride. He said, must I strike this rock and let water come forth? Must I? Before that, he was always before the Lord. Lord, can you, with the people that are ready to get me, can you do this? Can you do that? But the Lord had answered. And the Lord told him, because you have spoke foolishly, you're not entering into the kingdom, into the promised land. That's it. That's all he did. He got angry. And in his anger, he said, must I? Not looking to the Lord. Not remembering what the Lord had done for him. You see, the devil likes to keep us bound with fear and pride. Fear and pride. Those are two things that he likes to keep us bound with. So when you have things that are within you, even your own secret things, it's good to tell them. It's good to share them. That's what we're there, one for another. You know, we share these things one to another because that might be your answer. When we tell things that bind us, things that are troubling us, telling the secret is freeing. It frees you. Because the devil wants those things to stay between you and him. See, because regardless of how spiritual you think you are, how strong you think you are, you're not going to defeat the enemy one-on-one. And that's where he wants us, one-on-one. Just you and me. And when we fall into that trap, that's when we said, why did I do that? How did that happen? Because you didn't take your strength with you. Amen. And that's what it is. Well, I'm bringing a little secret to light before you all now, hit the Satan back about myself. And it's hard for us to tell on ourselves because of pride. And it's short-term memory loss. No, you're laughing, but I'm talking about the real thing. That's what I'm talking about, the real thing. I'm talking about when somebody tell you something, so, and then by the time you walk out that door, you don't forget what they said. And it's hard to deal with from time to time. But it's also kind of, it's hard for me in the light of just to stand up before everyone and say, I got short-term memory loss. You might tell me something right now, and before I walk out that door, I don't forget what you said. Come back with me. I just told you. No, you didn't. That's hard to live with. It is. It is at times. You said such and such. No, I didn't. And I'm just as sincere. Amen. And for some of you, you might say, that's not a big deal. I do too. I forget things too. Because we do. We all forget. But for me, it's huge because of what? Pride. Pride. And the pride is me not being able to be in complete control. We all want to be in complete control of what we do. I don't want to do this. I don't want to go this way or that way unless I consent. Well, the Lord knows how to bring you to a place where you're going to do either you bow your knee or you walk into destruction. And I thank God that sometimes we can be like Balaam. You know, he was riding the donkey, and the donkey had enough sense to see the sword, the angel in front of him with the sword. He just beat the donkey. He said, why are you beating on me, man? Don't you see that sword? Man, with that sword up there? You beating me, talking about walking to that? No. Amen. And we need to sometimes, you know, open our eyes too, because that's all it was. The Lord opened the donkey's eyes to see what was there, danger. And we have to keep our eyes open too to see dangers that come before us. And the Holy Ghost, sometimes just the Holy Ghost in you, or it's the Holy Ghost in somebody else, is saying danger. Amen. For me, it's huge, but it's also just a little pebble. And me standing up here in front of you right now and expressing it, I'm just getting a victory. So the more I tell, the larger my victory. Amen. Some of you probably already know it. I repeat myself over and over and regularly. I forget frequent things. But oh, talk about something in the past. And there it goes. And I go back, boom. 40 years ago, 50 ago, when I was 3 months old. Amen. What'd you just say? I don't know. My brother Alan, he knows. We be out on the red sometimes and so on. He said, go over there, can't get that. And I'm just... He said, did you bring it over there? No. What'd you tell me to do? And he said, man, I just told you to go. Praise the Lord. You don't know how big a thing it is for me to just be up here right now and overcoming, telling you on myself. One of the other things with it is that being around strange surroundings that you don't know about. And I know this is not just cause of memory loss, but it's because just fears. I went to St. Louis to the airport when I first started seeing this is what is happening and forgot. My left something home, and the next thing I knew, I just blacked out. Didn't know nothing, couldn't remember nothing. So that's kind of what Satan wants to do with us, his God's people. Because sometimes we come into a point where we have amnesia, we forget, and we can't remember. And that's how God wants to defeat his people. He will use anything to pursue his purposes. I'm talking about the devil. He'll use anything. Fear, pride, sickness, or whatever it is. So that's why we have to do what? Examine ourselves daily to see if we be in the faith, to see if we're upholding the things that God says we're supposed to be upholding, to see if the things that are supposed to be in us through the Holy Spirit are really working in us. Are we allowing those things to work in us? If there wasn't a submission that's supposed to come from us, we'd all be doing like we're supposed to be. We'd all talk to one another like we're supposed to talk to one another. We'd always do things that we're supposed to do with one another, and we'd all be robots. And a robot doesn't have free will. He's programmed to do this and that and that. God could have did that with us, but he didn't. He gave us the ability to what? Choose. Freely choose what we will follow, what we will do, and what we won't do. Scripture talks about loving our life. Loving our life. And we have to come to the point of not just hating our life in the sense that I'm a masochist, I just gonna go do something, kill. No, but not loving our life to the point that we'll do anything just to live. Just to live. And people do that all the time. They will submit and do anything just to live. Life is more than just living. Life is making choices. It is. Life is making choices. That's part of living. I want to just live. Well, you do. You got to make choices. And choices have consequences. Every choice that you make has a consequence. Good or evil. That's the only two. You make a choice, it's either going to turn out good or it's going to turn out bad. Amen. God wants to defeat God, his people. God wants his people to not be defeated by Satan. But he's not going to be the one to just grab us and just lead us through all the way. No, we've got to move in the direction that he tells us to go. He prescribes a way that we should go. We have to do that. We have to make that conscious choice to do that. And he'll back us up. That's how we grow, saints. That's how we grow. He tells us to make one step, and he'll show us how to make the next one. Take this weapon, okay? Take this step. And as you continue to do that, it becomes a pattern. Just like a baby learned how to walk. He get up, he get through one step, and he falls down, he does. But you know, you keep encouraging him, you keep talking to him, you keep showing him, you keep doing what you know to do, and eventually he's walking. He might not be walking good, and he's stumbling and falling down, but he's walking on his own. Amen. So it is with us. Right now, you know, if we look around, you look around the kingdom, and you're just like over in the world, you see the Russia and the creation and all these different places and wars and rumors of war. These things are supposed to happen. And you look at the United States, you look at our moral health. I'm bringing that up. Moral. I didn't say good, just this and that, but moral health. Our morality. How we think and what we feel about what the Word says about how we're supposed to live, sex and this and that, it's not good. Unless you open your, and if you think it is, it's because you're blind. You're either blind, as my daddy said, used to say, you're blind in one eye and can't see out the other one. And that's the truth. Amen. He wants to defeat God's people. And he will use anything to pursue that purpose. Amen. Fear, pride, sickness. You know why? He wants to win. I said he will do anything to achieve that purpose. Why? He wants to win. What will we do in the name of Christ to win? That's what it is. It's a matter of the line is drawn in the sand, and the battle has begun. It's like a tug of war. It's a tug of war. And if you look and truly think about what the Word says, he's winning. When you got a tug of war, you pull in this side and others pulling that way. And there's a line right there. Whoever pulls the other one over that line does what? Win. Amen. And right now it looks like the devil's pulling the people of God closer in his way. Amen. I had a few things when I was growing up that I desired in the Lord, and he gave them to me, gave me an opportunity to do it. One of them was to play professional football. I got an opportunity to do that for 2 years. First year I was with the San Diego Chargers and made the last cut. They wanted to put me on a taxi squad. I didn't have any sense about finances and money and no advisors like they have today, and I made the wrong choice. I refused that. And I played minor league for a year. Next year I was fortunate enough to make the team with the Cincinnati Bengals. Played 1 year there. So that was, the Lord gave me just what I wanted. And this strange thing about it was because I asked him when I was in junior college, I said, Lord, if you just let me play pro football 2 years, I'll serve you. Kind of reminds you of something in the Bible where, you know, the man said, Lord, whichever the first one of my daughters come through the door, that's the one I'm supposed to sacrifice. Sometimes we speak unadvisedly or however we want to, but the Lord holds us to it. He makes a bargain, and he did that. He gave me that opportunity, and thank God for it. I had a dream to be a coach after playing ball somewhere. And the junior college I went to, I went was an assistant with them for a while, and we lived in the neighborhood, and my wife had a daycare, and she took care of some of the children in the neighborhood, and I didn't know that one of the kids that she was taking care of, their coach, their father, rather, was an administrator at Humboldt State University College, and that's what my dream was, to be a college coach. But I was saved. I'd just gotten saved, saints. I hadn't been saved too long. And so here he was. He was a neighbor. So I go to the door. Boom. Doorbell rings. He comes and he introduces himself. And he comes in and he says, we would like for you to be the head coach at Humboldt. And, of course, this was my dream. Be a head coach. You got to start somewhere. I start small. Work my way up. And right away, this began to go around in my head. And to show you how the Holy Spirit works, he said, can't do it. I can't do it. What do you mean? This is what I've been doing. You can't do it. I wondered why. As I was pondering it, it said, you loved football. You'd play for free. You loved it. And I won't have no one or no thing in front of me. And he was telling me, if you became the head coach, you'd become so enthralled in what you were doing and you would be successful. But that wouldn't be my will. And so I reluctantly had to tell him no. He couldn't understand why. He said, no, can't do it. And I tried to explain to him why. And you, of course, you know, when you try to speak spiritual thing to people that are carnal, don't know that, it's foolishness to them. But it was life for me. Because the Lord was putting before me life and death. Choose. Amen. And I thank God for his grace that I chose him and not that. Well, that's pretty much my message. And that is, choose ye this day whom you will serve. Will it be God or will it be man? And when you make that choice, and if your choice, and everybody's here, and I believe your choice is to follow him, then do that. But don't think it's going to be easy. No, don't think it's going to be easy. Because the devil, he's going to attack you even more. You say, but our guy, he can't do that. Yeah, he's going to attack you even more. Why? And this is something that we do, saints. We always say, how come Joe down the street over there not having a hard time, and he don't do nothing for the Lord, And he's just doing, you know, he does everything. He cusses. He don't treat people right. But his business is prospering. And this here, and they got this, and they got that, and that. Don't say, I don't have to, you don't have to say amen. I know what I'm talking about is true. I've been there. And that's what flesh does. Did you hear what I said? That's what flesh does. It covets what somebody else has because it looks good. It looks good. But when you know later on, when you go around and you see the end of where Joe or Sally or whoever life is and is going, you say, I never would have thought they was getting divorced. I never did thought that they would lose this. I never did thought that such and such and such and such. Well, that's what the word said. The end of that is death. Amen. So, thank God you're on the right road, saints. God is our refuge, saints, and our strength. Very pleasant, present rather, help in time of trouble. Absolutely. I thank God for this opportunity just to give you a little bit of my testimony, what God has done for me in my life. And he's still doing that. Amen. And you know what I look at? I'm closer to getting home today than I was yesterday. I might not be where I want to be today, but I think I'm a little bit better than I was yesterday. Like the commercial, you know, about the insurance? Worried about what you can get today, yesterday, well, you can get it today. And I thank God for that. Amen. I hope that, you know, that you would, that I've said something to help you to examine yourself. Because when we're ministering or we're testifying or whatever, you know, there's, they always said, you know, when you point your finger, they're the three pointing back at you. So whatever we say, it's to ourselves first. And more importantly. But I thank God that we're walking on and on with Jesus, trusting him to lead the way. Amen. And we know that if we ever cling to him, we never go astray. Amen. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to minister to your people, to give them your word, what you've given me. And I pray, oh Lord, that something I've said will penetrate their hearts, cause them to examine themselves, whether they be in the faith, and if need be, oh Lord, to repent of anything that may be there that is causing them to stumble along the way. And those, oh Lord, who are not in that state, we pray, oh Lord, that you would continue to let them grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. Remembering, O Lord, that we are your people, the sheep of your pasture. And Father, I'm just praying that you will finish the good work that you have started in each one of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. It's a good word, amen. Always stand to our feet.
I see you taking ground. I see you press ahead. Your power is dangerous to the enemy's camp. You still do miracles. You will do what you said. For you're the same God now as you've always been. Your spirit breaking out, your kingdom moving in, your victory claim to ground the enemy had. You still do miracles, you will do what you said, for you're the same God now as you've always been. That's the power of your name, Just a mention makes a way. Giants fall and strongholds break. There is healing. That's the power that I claim. It's the same that rolled the grave. There's no power like the mighty name of Jesus. There's no power like the mighty name. There's no power like the mighty name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Lord, we give you praise this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to come together as a just as a body of believers, Lord, to enjoy each other's company, each other's presence, and to corporately press into your presence, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the word, the challenge that you brought forward to us. Lord, we just speak an extra blessing on Curtis as we just appreciate his transparency, Lord, and the word that he faithfully brought to us. And Lord, as we depart from this place, let us be reminded that we are your hands and feet as we interact with those around us, Lord. Help us to be good representations of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.